We're going to see the importance of reality check. From time to time, you and I may get caught up in something that we ought not to. If you don't think that that's possible, you're probably already caught up in something.
That's right.
And there's going to be a need for a reality check when that happens. A reality check is something that clarifies or serves as a reminder of reality, often by correcting a misconception. We slowly drift into a way of thinking or acting that is incorrect.
Yeah.
Many times Satan or one of his helpers works diligently to influence us to head down that path.
Right.
And because of that, we don't recognize it.
That's right.
We don't see it happening because it's typically slow, methodical steps.
Yeah.
And when I say methodical, it's not our method, it's Satan's. And so it doesn't dawn on us many times until the problems begin to surface. In the beginning, it seems totally harmless. It's just one drink. It's just one look. Just one bite.
Yeah.
Then we're hooked. And we don't even realize it. Yeah.
Right.
It may even be that some loving person comes to you or I and attempts to expose the problem. And we get defensive, argumentative, and even denying that there is even a problem.
Yeah.
We may even angrily accuse them of being judgmental or self-righteous. So when you find yourself reacting that way, hopefully something will ring in your mind immediately and a bell will sound that will say, reality check.
Yeah.
When that does happen, when we deny that there's a problem, when we accuse them of being judgmental or self-righteous, then that soft reality check failed. But the next one probably won't, because it'll be more severe. Here in 2 Chronicles, we're going to see this play out. We're in chapter 26, verse 15. We're talking about King Uzziah. It says here, and he made in Jerusalem engines. By the way, that's not V8 engines, turbo engines. That is a construction that they would use that was somehow spring-loaded, and they would pull it back and put a big old rock in it. And when they would trip the lever, it would throw that rock several hundred feet. They used it in war. That was the engine that it's talking about here.
That's right.
Invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for your word. And Lord, it's no mistake that you have brought us here tonight to this place. In your word, and I pray that you would help us to see what you want us to see.
Please, Lord.
Lord, it may be that one of us in here tonight is on the verge of making some bad choice. And I pray that you would clarify that tonight in our hearts.
Yes.
Redirect us. Show us the right path. Lord, help me to say what I should and to refrain from saying what I shouldn't so that your message is accurately delivered tonight to your people.
Yes.
I thank you for that. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
King Uzziah was marvelously helped or greatly blessed of God.
Yes.
Have you been greatly blessed of God?
Yes.
I have.
Thank you, Lord.
I have. Have you ever noticed that you pray more often and more diligently during the famine than you do during the feast?
Yeah, true.
That's because during feasting we develop a misconception that we are responsible for the plenty that we are enjoying. That's what happened to Uzziah. He got to thinking, well, I'm something else. Look at all these people that are underneath me. Look at all these lands that I've conquered. Look at all this popularity that I have, this power. I could take out anybody I want. And he probably did. Went to his head. He had a misconception.
Yeah.
But what's interesting, if you look in verse 7, we find where it came from. And God helped him. He couldn't have had all that success, all that fame, all those victories against his enemies if God didn't help him. I think sometimes we get on that path. We get to thinking that that next breath is still coming.
Yeah.
That next heartbeat. We take it for granted.
Yes, sir.
God controls that.
Amen.
Every heartbeat he controls. Not us. King Uzziah was only great because God helped him become great.
That's right.
The Bible teaches that God sets people in positions of power. And he takes them out.
Yes, he does.
Why did God help him? Look in verse 3. The Bible says, 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And look at this. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper.
Yes, amen.
God gave him wealth, power, prominence, and fame. Why? Because he sought God. So then what happened? How did that turn, as we read in verse 15 and 16? How did he turn and crash and burn? Turn to 2 Kings. I think it's important that we find out where he went wrong. What mistakes did he make? 2 Kings chapter 15. In this chapter, we see a mirrored account of this same story here. 2 Kings chapter 15. By the way, here it's going to say Azariah. Azariah and Uzziah are the same person. Why the writer of 1 or 2 Kings chose to call him Azariah, I have no idea. Many times people had more than one name, just like you and I do. If you call me Bruce, you're right. If you call me Oliver, you're in trouble. But you're still right. If you call me Scott, you're still right. So it's likely that Uzziah had a middle name. I don't know. But here in verse 1 of chapter 15, it's the same account of what we read in 2 Chronicles. In the 27th year of Jeroboam, the king of Israel, began Azariah, son of Amaziah, king of Judah, to reign. 16 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done, save that the high places were not removed. The people sacrificed and burned incense still on the high places. Uzziah didn't destroy the high places. And it doesn't say that in 2 Chronicles, but it does in 2 Kings. High places were typically used for pagan worship and idolatry.
That's right.
He knew that these high places were not holy, but he ignored them. As though they wouldn't really be a problem. In our terminology today, he would say it like this: it ain't that bad. Like we do when we're watching that movie and something is said that shouldn't have been said. Or something comes across the screen that the eyes of a Christian ought not to see.
Yeah.
But it was only once. It ain't that bad. I think that's what Uzziah thought about those high places. And therefore he didn't destroy them. He just ignored it as a problem. There are things that are present in our homes and in our life that we view as minor or not that bad, but will later become our downfall. Remember, Satan doesn't just come out there in that red suit, so to speak, which, by the way, I doubt he even has a red suit. But he doesn't come out there in his real self and say, serve me and follow me. Instead, he starts off with something real small,
yeah,
unnoticeable,
right,
almost undetectable,
yeah,
so that we will say, it ain't that bad. What are you making a big deal about this for? Weeks down the road, then he's going to take us another small step in that same direction.
Right.
Weeks, maybe months down the road, another step. And then another step. By the way, it was years from the time that King Uzziah took authority to the time that he went into the temple to burn incense,
right,
unlawfully. Years. You might say, well, I've been watching that for years. It's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem, if not in your life, your children's.
Yeah.
Because you've taught them it ain't that bad. When in fact, it is. We have a misconception that we can manage it and keep it under control. That was Uzziah's first mistake. His second mistake is found back in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and in verse 5. The Bible says, "And he sought God in the days of Zechariah." And I don't know if that's the same Zechariah that wrote the book Zechariah. Brother Tommy, do you know if that is?
Not sure.
I don't know. It could have been. But one thing for sure, Zechariah was a solid Christian, a godly man. He was the mentor of King Uzziah. And it says here in verse 5 that King Uzziah sought God in the days of Zechariah. But then when Zechariah was gone, something happened.
Yeah.
Uzziah lazily leaned on the spirituality of Zechariah. When Zechariah was gone, he didn't have the strong relationship with God that he should have had.
That's right.
And it showed. This happens in families most frequently that go to church. The children lean on the spirituality of their parents until that magic age of 18 years old. Until they're out of the home. Mom and dad, the most valuable thing you'll ever train your children to do is to walk with God themselves.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes, we are to model before them how to walk with God. But you should also train them to study their Bible. Be consistent in their devotion time. Be consistent in their church attendance.
Yeah.
Be consistent in their walk with God, their God. Help them to see how that God has worked and is working in their life, not always your life. Uzziah enjoyed the sweet fellowship and leadership from Zechariah for years. Then one day, Zechariah was gone. Having a strong accountability partner is good. In fact, it's vital. But it doesn't negate your responsibility to develop a strong relationship with God.
That's right.
That's paramount. When we get to heaven, God's not going to say, "Were your parents Christians?" He's going to want to know what you did with Jesus.
Amen.
He's going to want to know what your children have done with Jesus.
Right.
Not what you've taught them. The influence of paganism around Uzziah and his weak walk with God led to his pride swelling up inside himself. And then he made a decision that ended all of those blessings. He was struck with leprosy till the day of his death. What pagan influences are you allowing to enter your ear gate and your eye gate? We see it on TV, we see it on our phones, we see it in books. We listen to it from some of our friends. It's going to be a problem. It may take years, but it's going to be a problem that will be devastating. Are you leaning on the spirituality of someone else? This is your soft reality check. The next one will be more severe. The farther we go down the wrong road, the more painful it is on the way back. So whatever pagan influence, by the way, pagan means worldly, ungodly, anything that's not holy. These pagan influences are working on us in a bad way. Mm-hmm. They've got us to thinking things that are incorrect. Mm-hmm. We have a misconception of reality. And because of it, we're headed for disaster if we don't make some changes.
Yes.
So I encourage you to think about what pagan influences that you're allowing into your life, into your ear gate and your eye gate. And what pagan influences that you're allowing into your children's lives or your grandchildren's lives or men and into your wife's life. And do something about it. Don't wait. The longer we go down that path, the more painful it is on the way back. And many times we don't bring those that we love with us on the way back.
That's right.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for showing us what you want us to see. Lord, help us not to be a hearer only, but a doer of your word. Father, help us to take action on the things that you've showed us tonight. Draw us closer to yourself. Help us to omit the worldliness out of our life and to draw closer to you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand. 493.